Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. He is scheduled to return June 2019. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. If you live in the Kansas City area, please join us in a live Sunday service from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Our services are currently being held at 1721 North 9th Street in Kansas City, Kansas, 66101. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Let's continue with our teaching titled Prosperity for God's People, which I began on February 6th. I believe that every Christian will enjoy and benefit from this important teaching because it will elevate you to a better financial position in life and cause you to be a greater blessing to others. If you dare to believe and by faith apply the biblical principles we will be discussing throughout this teaching. This teaching is primarily for Christians. This corrupt economical world system that we live under is not designed for Christians to prosper. Satan's evil system is intentionally designed to keep people in poverty, living from paycheck to paycheck, and in financial debt. However, if we take the time to study what God's Word has to say about financial prosperity, we will find out that Christians can live above this corrupt economical system that Satan has in place. God's plan for our financial prosperity is not limited by the success of the stock market, or who is in control of our White House, or if you got that well-deserved salary increase. God will use these channels to bless His people. But remember, God is our source of wealth and not this corrupt world system. God's word clearly tells us that we should not only be wealthy, but financiers of the kingdom of God. Listener, if you receive nothing else from this teaching, I want to make it very clear that poverty is a perversion of prosperity, and Satan is the author of poverty, not God. God's plan for His children to prosper financially is based on being obedient to God's word, and His prosperity brings no sorrow. This study consists of six parts: an introduction, part one, poverty, Satan's plan to keep Christians ineffective, part two, the law of sowing and reaping, part three, the blessing of Abraham. These four parts we have finished thus far. Part 4, how to activate the blessing, which we will finish today. And part 5, seed time and harvest. Listener, if this is your first time with us, we welcome you and ask that you please go to our website at kccfc.net to hear the previous episodes of this teaching, now archived under our radio broadcast page. We do not want you to have a gap of information on this critical teaching. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. As a reminder, God's prosperity is not only about money, but it most definitely includes financial wealth. This teaching is not about spiritual prosperity or physical prosperity. These topics are important too and have their place in God's word. But this study is on financial prosperity, which I believe has not been sufficiently taught, nor taught according to the Word of God in the church today. Therefore, this biblical study is about Christians claiming their legal right to God's riches on this earth and living in financial abundance. Please note that I will be quoting from the New King James Bible translation unless otherwise stated. Let's finish part 4, how to activate the blessing. Before I ran out of time last week, I was explaining why Christians must individually and collectively bind and loose here on earth by our words. In short, we control the manifestation of God's blessings in our life and in the world through our words of faith. Let's reread Proverbs 13, verse 3 and verse 22. Proverbs 13, 3 and 22. Verse 3 says,
He who guards his mouth or words preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Verse 22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Now, I want to highlight two important points in these two verses. First, in verse number 3, it says, he who guards his mouth, or in other words, his words, he will preserve his life. But he who opens wide his lips, or in other words, constantly talking negative words, shall have destruction. This is a biblical principle that we studied out last time we were together. And we know from the word of God that death and life is in the power of the tongue. Then in verse 22, it gives us an understanding of a good man and what the good man does. And that is to leave an inheritance to his children and his children's children. So we want to be those good individuals who follow through and provide an inheritance for our children and our children's children. Our words that line up with God's words gives us abundance and victory over all the challenges of life, including our finances. And God tells us it is a good man that leaves a financial inheritance for the generations to come. This lets us know that those Christians who do not leave an inheritance for the next generation is not fulfilling their godly assignment. This is why I have made it my daily routine to speak God's word over my life, my husband, community, nation, and world. And this includes our personal finances and that of our ministry and its partners. Here are a few of the daily prosperity confessions that we use over our giving. I start off every morning and I give thanks unto the Lord for another opportunity to have life and life more abundantly. And I say, thank you, Father, that because I seek you, I shall not lack any good thing. That's found in Psalm 34:10. Thank you, Father, because I love you. You cause me to inherit wealth and you fill my treasuries. From Proverbs 8:21. Thank you, Father, that you command the blessing on my storehouse and in all to which I set my hand, and you bless me in the land that you gave me, taken from Deuteronomy 28:8. Thank you, Father, that you will give me the power and ability and authority to get wealth so that you may establish your covenant here on earth, taken from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Thank you, Father, that in you I prosper in all things and in health, just as my soul prospers. Taken from 3 John 2. Thank you, Father, that I do not rob you of your tithes and offerings. And because I am not a God robber, you open the windows of heaven and pour out to me such blessing that there is not enough room to receive. Taken from Malachi Chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. Listener, it is so very important for each Christian to speak life to their finances that I have placed a full list of my prosperity faith confessions on our website that you can copy and use at your convenience. Please go to our devotional page at kccfc.net to see all of the confessions and then purpose to use them daily. Again, that's found at kccfc.net. In addition to planting our financial seed and watering our seed by speaking faith confessions over our giving, you will also need to place your seed into good ground. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, we are directed to bring our tithe to the storehouse. And in case you do not know, the tithe is 10% of your net income. Please do not limit yourself to this amount. If you are able and willing to give more for kingdom purposes, do so. If you are not in a financial position to do the 10%, do your best with a heart to do more when you are able. I will give you more information about what amount to give when we enter the last part of this teaching. For now, Let's talk about where is the storehouse. The storehouse is that ministry where you are being taught the uncompromising word of God, and the pastor is also a tither, not one of those pastors that are stealing from God. You, as the giver, are responsible for being part of a church home that is teaching God's word with accuracy, and the pastor and staff are doing right according to God's word. Keep in mind that you will give an account to God where you have placed your tithes and offerings. Therefore, find good ground or a good storehouse to plant your financial seed, so your financial harvest will come quick and abundantly. Let's read Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke 6, 38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. I want to highlight that last sentence of that verse. It says, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. I don't know about you, but I have big dreams for completing my divine assignments here on earth. Consequently, my husband and I are always evaluating our finances and looking for ways to increase our giving for kingdom purposes. We are not limiting our giving to 10%. We want to be a blessing today, tomorrow, and long after we have left this earth. We are looking to be good men that leave an inheritance for the generations to come. So be a blessing and choose to increase your financial planning each year. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. 2 Corinthians 9, 10. It says, now he, referring to God, who supplies seed to the sower, that's you and I, and bread for food, will supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. I want to highlight a couple of sentences here or phrases. It says, now he, God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, will supply and multiply the seed you have sown. Will supply and multiply the seed you have sown. Earlier in this teaching, we talked about the law of multiplication. And here is where it applies to our financial giving. It says that God will supply and multiply that seed or financial offering you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. To close part four, how to activate the blessing, I want to restate that we must first give for kingdom purposes into a good storehouse. Then we need to confess God's word by faith over our finances while we wait for the abundant return on our giving. And always remember that the more you give, the more your harvest or return will be. Let's move on to the last part of this teaching, part five, seed, time, and harvest. Again, part five, seed, time, and harvest. There is a time frame between your giving a tithe or offering and your financial blessing manifesting on this earth realm. However, you as the financial farmer are responsible for giving your financial seed the best possible conditions to grow and give an abundant financial harvest. Here are some important steps that you need to apply so that you will receive a maximum return on your giving. First, purpose to give with a cheerful heart, to please your Heavenly Father and not man. Again, to please your Heavenly Father and not man. Let's read Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. Luke 21, 1 through 4. Verse 1 says, and he, Jesus, looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he, Jesus, saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. Verse 3, so he, or Jesus, said, surely I say to you, that this poor widow has put in more than all, for all these out of their abundance have put in offerings, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had." Family, I want to highlight in this passage some key important points that will help us to understand why our heart must be right when we give for kingdom purposes. So in verse number 1, it says, "Jesus saw the rich people putting in their offerings." Then in verse number 2, "He also saw a poor widow putting in 2 mites. Now, for those of us that don't use mites, because this is an ancient coin, these are very small copper coins that were used. The value of such at that day was very little. But notice in verse number 3, it says that Jesus said that he saw this poor widow put in more than all those individuals, those rich people that were putting in of their abundance. In other words, Jesus saw the condition of her heart, and it was a cheerful giver. She was putting in her offering with a cheerful heart. Then it says in verse number 4 that these rich people put in of their abundance, but she, or the widow, out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. In other words, she gave by faith, believing that the Lord would supply her future needs. You know, when we give unto the Lord, we don't just give because we know we're going to get a return. We give because it is a blessing to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And we want to be a part of that good news that goes all around the world. So when we give of our offerings, our tithes into the storehouse, that ministry that is going out into the world, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, we become a part of that. And it is accounted to us as if we went out into the mission fields ourselves, as if we actually handed that Bible to that individual, brought that person to Christ. So we are giving for the purpose of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And God saw that this woman was giving of her poverty. In other words, she didn't have anything else to give, but she gave it all with a cheerful heart, and she was standing in faith that God would supply for her future needs. Christians, we must do a self-examination to make sure that we are giving with a motive of love unto our Heavenly Father for the purpose of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ to the multitudes. If our objective is to show others that we are big givers, or just to get a big return on our giving, our blessing will not come to pass. Be like Jesus, who was moved to do what was pleasing to the Heavenly Father by love and compassion. Secondly, the farmer must plant his seed into good, fertile soil to get a good harvest. If not, the seed will die just like our financial seed will die if planted in a dead church that is not doing God's word. Remember, the seed that the farmer plants in good ground interacts with the soil, germinates, and life begins. You cannot see the seed growing at first. Then after some time, you will see a crack in the ground, then a small green blade, and eventually a mature plant with fruit. The seed did not start growing when you saw the green blade. It was growing while it was still completely covered by the good soil. But it took time and the right conditions to get to this point. In like manner, our financial seed needs time to develop and grow. This is why we must confess the Word of God by faith daily over our finances, claiming our financial blessings according to God's word to keep them growing until the harvest comes. Our faith confessions bind Satan from destroying our financial harvest. Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 10 that Satan has no legal right to steal from us. We have authority to keep Satan under our feet. Again, we have authority to keep Satan under our feet. Let's read Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 19. Luke 10, starting with verse 17 through 19. Verse 17 says, "When the 70 disciples returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.' And he," Jesus, "said to them, 'I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I, Jesus, give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, Satan, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.'" Family, that's something to shout about. Again, it says, Jesus says, he has given us authority over all the power of Satan, and nothing shall by anything hurt us. Satan is already defeated as a result of Jesus' redemptive work, referring to salvation. Therefore, when we use the living word of God over the circumstances of life, including our finances, Satan must run and hide. God's promises are activated by speaking them out loud over our life, the life of our loved ones, and this world. Put God in remembrance of what he promised us in Malachi, and that is that he has rebuked the devourer, referring to Satan, when we give unto him for kingdom purposes. Amen and amen. Thirdly, purpose to live according to God's word by obeying his commandments. When you do so, you will be protected from the evil storms that Satan will send your way to cut you off from God's blessings. Obedience is God's covering. Much like an umbrella protects you from getting drenched, the umbrella does not stop the rain, but it keeps you dry and protected from the rain storms. This is exactly what our obedience to God's word does for us. Our obedience keeps us from the curse of poverty, lack, and want. In the book of Deuteronomy, in the last part of chapter 28, God warns us of what will happen if we disobey his word. In verse 15 through 68, we are warned that obeying Satan will cause death, pain, and destruction. Now listen carefully, Christian. If we choose to follow the destroyer, aka Satan, God will have to allow the curses to come upon us because we have a free will and we have to choose to obey or disobey. Let's read Deuteronomy chapter 28. I want to just read two verses, verses 15 and 16. Verse 15 says, "But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe or do carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." Verse 16, "Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country." I want to highlight once again in verse 15 how important obedience is. It says, "But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to do carefully all his commandments, that's when the curses will fall on us and it will overtake us." We have seen it over and over again in our own families, in our community, in our nation, in our world. Family, it's time to obey the voice of the Lord our God by finding out what his word, the Holy Bible, says, and then doing his word. Notice that we are in control of the blessings and the curses that come over us. Satan cannot put anything on you without your permission. And you give Satan permission to steal, kill, and destroy by disobeying God's word. We must choose life in Jesus. Let's read Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. We have to choose life, family. Deuteronomy 30:19-20 says, I, God, call heaven and earth as witnesses against you today, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Verse 20, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Family, I am so sorry. My time is up, but I do want you to come back next week, Wednesday. I thought we would finish today, but we'll just finish it up next week, and then we will proceed to our new teaching, which will be on prayer. Prayer, the prayers that reach the throne of God. Family, we love you, and until next week, God bless.
Thank you for sharing this time with us, and if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.